Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice because we have a choice. Amen. Everybody has a choice. You have a choice to worship. You have a choice to not. You have a choice to submit. You have a choice to not. You have a choice to obey. God never interferes with your choice, but I can tell you there is a reaping of your choice every time. There's always a reaping of choice. So what you don't choose today to do what's right before God, eventually you will reap, because it is called rebellion. Amen? You know, one of the beautiful things about knowing truth is that in knowing truth and practicing truth, there is a freedom. And without practicing truth, there is no freedom. It's nothing but religion then. Then we're always crying out, God is only love, but they lose sight that God is judge. And the word tells us that he doesn't associate with sinners, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. You know, in the scriptures, it talks about Jesus, who used to go into the area where sinners were. Believe me, he didn't become their friends. He came there to rescue them from hell and became their Lord and Savior. You know who he called friends? Judas. He called him friend. Why? Because Judas was a betrayer. Jesus said, if you are with me, you gather. If you're against me, you scatter. You know, my wife and I were on another island. Not long enough, but long enough. And on our way home, the Holy Spirit was beginning to reveal some things to me. Actually, on the way there, I think it was on the way. I don't remember. Anyways, on the plane, he began to speak to me multiple things. And one of the things that is vitally important, I kept hearing this word, sin no more. Sin no more. And you remember, as a believer, the first thing that what God is trying to get to me and you is to come to the end of ourself. Everything involved in the kingdom is coming to the end of self. That's how we are. A kingdom culture is to come to the end of self. Everything. Even when Jesus showed up, what was the word that was spoken? John said, I must decrease that he could what? In other words, he was saying, I must come to the end of myself. In fact, he got to the point where he had to end up in prison and become beheaded. That was symbolic of losing yourself so Christ could express himself. Everything in the kingdom, everything is about coming to the end of self. See, this seems to be a difficult thing. God's not interested in our opinions, either am I. He's interested in whether you're doing what he asked you to do and that you're a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. Because he cannot trust men pleasers. He trusts God pleasers. He wants to know every idol that's involved in our life to be removed so that we come to the end of self. Self. Why? Because self is the offspring of Satan. And he doesn't associate with self. He associates with the newborn again believer. But if self is still ruling that person's life, there'll be separation. And let me tell you what replaces the Holy Spirit. Familiar spirit. And you know what the familiar spirit promotes? Feeling. False love. He's the number one deceiver besides a deaf and dumb spirit. He promotes false love. He promotes lust. That's what familiar spirits do. They try to replace the Holy Spirit, but they manipulate in such a way where lust is involved instead of God's love. See, there's a difference of God's love. You know God's love is judgment? What does it say? He chastens his children because he what? Loves them. But so many run when God chastens. Why? Because that's all he's trying to do is get us to the end of ourselves. Listen, our trials and tribulations are blessings so that we come to the end of ourselves. He's trying to express himself. How can he express himself when self is in the way? See, self protects self. It's number one is pride. It protects self. It protects its idols. Self protects anything associated with feeling. Does everybody understand this? And the spirit that rules them is familiar. And it's so important that we understand this. Why? Because one of the things the Lord is asking us to do is to sin no more. See, people look at sin as just fornication. Rebellion is sin. Disobedience is sin. Associations are sin. We're to be blemish-free, sanctified unto the Lord, set apart, not promoting in sin, not petting in sin. The Bible says we're to hate sin. Now, God forgives the sinner, doesn't he? Or else we wouldn't be here. But once you're forgiven, that doesn't mean you continue to sin. Not that we don't make mistakes, but there is willful sin. So if people aren't willing to get things right and still willing to sin, then we don't associate with them. I don't want anything to do with them. They're in the hands of God. Do I love them? Yes. But I'm not associate with the flock of sinners. It's different. That's why everybody must work out their own salvation, right? You know, what does the word tell us? Go to Psalm 1 for a minute. We're just going to fly a little bit this morning. Psalm 1. You know, ministering in the jail, I run across a lot of individuals that we've ministered to, and while they were in jail, they were on fire and reading the Bible and so forth. They come out of jail, and I see them later, and they're like, yeah, man, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed, man, just great, awesome. Things are going wonderful. Really, what are you doing? Well, I'm shacking with such and such. Well, they're huffing a demon, and they're hanging out in front of 7-Eleven. Yeah, things are just blessed. I got a girl now. I got a guy now. Oh, you're just wonderfully blessed. Oh, no, man, I'm blessed, man. No, you're not. You're cursed. And that familiar spirit thinks you're blessed, telling you you're blessed when you're out of God's order. You know, the only thing I can tell them is, of course, usually I tell them, well, you're still huffing a demon, so you can't be blessed. You're shacking up with someone, you can't be blessed. You're cursed, and you don't realize it. And if you're not willing to get things right and get them right now and get in divine order, the end result will be separation permanently. Well, can I call you? No. Show up in fellowship. There's no sense of counseling someone until they're willing to be obedient. Amen? Psalm 1, let's go for it. Verse 1, blessed is man who walks not in the counsel of the what? Ungodly. Ungodly means rebellion, rebellious. So it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the rebellious. So those who walk in the counsel of the rebellious are what? Cursed. Nor stands in the path of sinners. In other words, no associations. Nor sits in the seat of scorn. Why? Because what happens is when you take counsel from ungodliness, it promotes rebellion, it promotes lies, and it promotes a mouth that is scornful. It says, but his delight is in the truth, or in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will what? Prosper. Prosper. That doesn't mean he's got to work 90 hours a week to prosper. Amen? It means God's going to prosper him. The first thing that God tries to prosper me and you is spiritually. The greatest prosperity you and I can have is in the Spirit. Because God says, I reject the rebellious, or I reject the proud, but I give what? Grace to the humble. That grace to the humble means you will become prosperous in the Spirit. And if you become prosperous in the Spirit, other things will follow. But our first goal is to become prosperous in the Spirit, not financially. Not materially, not relationship. We should become prosperous first in the Spirit. And if you maintain that, then everything else will fall into place. See, but people are men pleasers instead of God pleasers. They're material pleasers, soulish pleasers, feeling pleasers, and distant from the arena of prosperity in the Spirit. Because the Bible says something very specific. The Spirit of truth will guide us to all truth. But I'm telling you, the spirit of familiar will guide you to deception. Amen? Go to John 8. We're to be coming to the end of what? Self. That's what this is all about. Remember, Jesus said, listen, I got a life for you, brand new, but you got to give me yours. So what he's saying, okay, let's exchange garments. Give me yours, I'll give you mine. The problem is people still go in Jesus' closet and get their old garments back. And they go through great depths to get their old garments back. In John 8 and verse 1, let's read it together. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. In the very act, she was on candid camera. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This, they said, testing him, that they might have something which to accuse him. Do you know that let me tell you, demons always try to get a place to accuse someone. They're always looking for something to accuse someone. They're like little varmints that are just irritating, you know? They're like flies on a window always looking for something to accuse someone. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I think he wrote, "Get ye behind me." And again, when he stooped down, then, verse 9, then those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience, went one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go in what? Sin no more." That's simple enough. So does that give a believer a right to continue to sin? No. John 5. John 5 and verse 2. So remember that sinning is an area where it's promotion of self. So if a person is continuously sinning, then they're not coming to the end of themselves. In fact, self is manifesting because self is sin. It's the presence of evil. Verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Hallelujah. We get moving of the water here all the time. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, and whatever disease he had left them. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Let me adjust my glasses. These are my spares. I left my originals home. Now that's the truth. Praise God. So anyways, he had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" But see, he was so accustomed of a certain way to be made well that he didn't think that Jesus was going to heal him. He was looking for someone to throw him in the water. The sick man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps in before me." So the guy might have been waiting 38 years at this pool. And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up my bed and walk.' And they said to him, 'Who is the man that said this to you? Take up your bed and walk.' But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn and a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well." What does he say? "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Lest a what? Worse thing come up. Listen, just because a worse thing hasn't come yet, it doesn't mean it's not coming. See, people are always, everything's fine, everything's cool, nothing's happened yet, I must be doing it okay. No, it's when you least expect it. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. In 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You know, I love truth. I love truth. And I love truth because I love him, because he is truth. And I will not compromise truth. Just won't. Can't. I know him. I know him. He knows me. You know, people may get upset at what's spoke here. And they can go to other churches and so forth. They may remove themselves from truth, but they can't remove themselves from the eye of the Lord. The eye of the Lord will always be on you. But truth is what makes people free by practicing it. As a steward and servant, it is my responsibility to know truth, to seek truth, to have revelation of truth. And God has blessed us tremendously with powerful truth. You know, we've had so many testimonies on our eternal library that are changing lives. It's phenomenal. And we've worked on this library for a while, this website. And there is over 1,100 teachings of truth. And we're getting testimonies from people that their lives have been rescued through that eternal library. It's amazing to us. And if anything that we can leave behind would be a website that has all kinds of truth. Amen? In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 9, would you read it with me, please? "Whoever commits sin," is everybody there? "Also commits what?" Wait a minute. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Is everybody there now? All right, let's read it together. "Whoever commits sin also commits what? Lawlessness. And sin is what? Lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. In him there is no sin. So whoever abides in him does not sin." Hello? "Whoever sinned has neither seen him nor known him." In other words, they've lost sight of him. They can talk about him, but they've lost sight of him. And there's a difference. Because I hear a lot of people talk about Jesus that are still living in sin. So they lost sight of him. And their hope that their words will change God's attitude towards them. But it won't. That's where familiar spirits bring deception. Amen? So sin is what? Lawlessness. That means without law. Without truth. So a person who practices lawlessness is without truth. They have lost sight. They can speak all they want. But if they're still living in sin, they're living in lawlessness. They are separated from the Lord. Now go to Matthew 7. In this, it means they're really not doing their will, because sin does not promote the will of God. It promotes the will of what? Self. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 7. Now remember, everybody has a free will. Amen? You have a choice. But there's always a consequence of choice. I like to use the word reward. Because you'll either be rewarded by the presence of God or rewarded by the presence of evil. And presence of evil really is not much of a reward. They just use you for food and have a great time. Matthew 7:21. Would you read it with me? "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Does everybody see that? Come on, this is reality. Why? Because sin is a fruit of self. Amen? So if sin is a fruit of self, because sin is the presence of evil and self is the offspring of Satan, it's not promoting the will of God, it's promoting the will of self. So he says here, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," can come into the kingdom unless you're doing the will of my Father. So anyone who's doing the will of self is living in sin. Does everybody get this? All right. Now look in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, but Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Oh, I witnessed on the street for you. I gave somebody a word from you, Lord. I've even cast out a devil in your name. And I did many wonders in your name. I mean, you know, come on. And Jesus said, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. What do you mean? I used your name. I know it. You used my name. You used my name plenty of times. You told many people about me, but you lost sight of me. You used me, and I let you. But one day you'll have to stand before me to re-see me again. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. Because lawlessness is what? Sin. Whoa. John, 1 John chapter 5. You mean if I die without doing the will of God, I'm going home? No, dummy. Only the ones who do the will of God enter the kingdom of God. That's what it's for. God's will, God's kingdom. Man's will, Satan's kingdom. Well, that's not what the Holy Spirit told me. That ain't the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. He says, stop it. Come out of that. Get things right. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning, shoot him. No. Make sure he repents first, that way he goes home. No, come on now. If anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. In other words, he's saying, Lord, you know, my brother, I want to lift my brother up to you. It's, you know, he's got a lying problem. He's got a deceiving problem. Okay. Well, but it says this, and he will, and it doesn't lead to death. He will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. What's sin leading to death? It's called works of the flesh. Fornication, adultery, so forth. Drugs, alcohol, these are sins that are leading to death. He said, I don't say that you should pray about that. In other words, don't go to the Lord and go, oh, Lord, I think such and such really, I want to lift this. Shut up, he says, and go tell them. Don't go pet them. Go tell them. Or you'll be judged just like they are. Why? Verse 17, all unrighteousness is what? Sin. And there is sin that's not leading to death, is there? Amen? We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. That is a position, a born-again state of being. That means that you are walking in the second chamber of the tabernacle. You don't sin there. And you're walking in the third chamber of the tabernacle where you don't live. He lives. That's where you are dead. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. That's a place. But he who has been born of God keeps himself away from what? Self. And the wicked one does not touch him. Amen? For we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the what? Sway the wicked one. Well, wicked ones are familiar spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving, delusional, all kinds of demons. Those are the wicked ones. Amen? While we're here, go to 1 John chapter 2. Sin no more. In other words, don't make place of the devil. Come to the end of self. In verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world, right? If anyone loves the world, in other words, loving the world means you act like the world. You live like the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the what? Will of God abides for when? Forever. So he who does not do the will of God will not abide forever. You will cook. Sin no more. That means a person needs to repent. Repent means to turn away and stop doing what you're doing. It's real simple. But we don't have enough money to get married now. So we're just going to live together, have children, and do all of these other things until we can get enough money. Okay, that's the way of the world. Does everybody get it? It's the way of the world. Just hope you don't die in that condition, because you will not get in. Sin no more. Repent, stop, turn, get back into divine order, and get right with God. That's what everything's about. Why? Because when you get right with God, you come to the end of yourself. In 1 Samuel 15. Again, everything about the kingdom, I can't emphasize enough. This is all I heard on the plane. Sin no more. Why? End of self. Sin no more. Why? End of self. 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 God cannot express himself until we come to the end of ourself. 1 Samuel 15. Now, you don't go out and accuse. Amen? It says do things in love. Sometimes love has a different form. It's like, yo, do I have to slap you to wake you up? Some people need to get hell slapped out of them and make room for heaven. Amen? In verse 23. Let's start with 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Oh, I've sacrificed so much, Lord. I've done so many things for you. As in obeying the voice of the Lord, but I haven't heard a word you said. I've done a lot of things for you, but I haven't listened to a word you've said. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of what? Witchcraft. And stubbornness is an iniquity and what? Adultery. Idolatry. Which is an idol, which says we put something before God. You know, people have relationships they put before God. Some people put their spouses, their family members before God. They put their jobs and all kinds of other things before God. That's called idolatry. That means you can't submit to God, so you can't resist the devil, so you're easily deceived. You're easily moved. You're easily offended. See, offense is nothing but pure self. That's why God tries to come us out, get us in, out of that soulish arena, because it's all about feelings. Self loves feeling. Why? What do demons get fed by? Emotion. What do you think self gets fed by? Emotion. He said, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. In other words, taking rule. If you can't submit to authority, you have none. And the demons know it. Psalm 66. Sin no more. Look, we know that we're all sinners, amen? There's a difference of living in sin and committing sin. Or promoting sin. Psalm 66, in verse 4. Is everybody there? Let's speak it, please. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe what? The nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Woo. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. You know, the word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from torment, freedom from fear, freedom from self, freedom, freedom. In this place where the Spirit is, he possesses me and you, if you let him. But he won't possess sin. He possesses the new Christian, the new character in Christ. He possesses the new person, not the old one. See, he separates the new one from the old one. You know, so many people have a label on them, I am. I saw it. I am. I am there is associated with self. It's the label on the flesh, I am, because it tries to be God. It wants to control everything. But on the spirit, man, it says, he is. I am because he is. Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah 5. Then you can walk down the street. If you see it in the spirit, you'll see labels on people's forehead. I am. I am. A lot of I ams around. I love it when the Lord opens our eyes. It's so powerful when he opens your eyes to see certain things. And one of the things, because he's always training us. We're always in training. Look, training never stops. He teaches us consistently. One of the things he's always trying to do is bring us to the end of what? Ourself. Where did I say to go? Jeremiah? Thank you. Jeremiah 5. Is everybody there yet? Verse 20. Let's read it. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Whoa. So if a person is living in sin, do they fear God? No. So would you associate with a person that doesn't fear God? I mean, I don't want to associate with things that don't even promote it. That, you know what I'm saying? TV programs and all kinds of, don't get me wrong. There's just certain things that just, you know, I seen these goofy things. There was something on TV about L.A. pastors or something. It was the most disgusting thing I saw. It was like watching the Kardashians. That don't, the only thing is they had a couple crosses in their house. It was disgusting. And I wanted to see what they were, and that's all they talked about was, they were sitting around drinking, they were sitting around talking about all their, they talked about their congregation of wealth. This house does not depend on people. It depends on the Lord. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Sheesh. Who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea? By a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it. And though it waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. Wow. Man, I can't express enough the area where the Lord is just really releasing his presence and saying, come on, it's time. In fact, one of the things he's saying is, we're delaying his return. Why are we delaying his return? Because he would lose too many. Proverbs 6. Well, you know what? I want to go home. Of course, I want to finish the course. Hallelujah. Proverbs, is everybody okay? Proverbs 6:16. Everybody there? Let's speak it together. These six things the Lord hates. You want to know what the things the Lord hates? Okay. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. Woo! A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. In other words, someone who causes someone to stumble. A heart that devises wicked plans. Well, you can tell that by a person's mouth. Feet that are swift in running to evil. Oh, man, there's the gossip column. Facebook gossip. People don't realize Facebook really shows your face. You can tell them by their fruit. There used to be a song, True Colors. I don't want to go there. It was not a very good song. But anyways, you know, this True Colors, you know. Actually, it was represented true fruits, but they didn't know what fruits were, so they called it colors. Person expresses colors, but it's actually fruits. A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. These are seven things that God hates. Does everybody see that? Look at it again. I'm going to go in reverse. A false witness, one who sows discord among brethren, he hates them. He hates it. He hates a false witness. People that lie give a false witness. Feet that are swift to run in evil. One who devises wickedness. One who causes people to stumble. A lying tongue and a proud look. He hates these things. Hates them. So if you want to practice these things, you will be a part of his enemies. And it's not that God is your enemy, it's that you're his. Because people that practice such things are rebellious towards the will of God. And they've not come to the end of self, and self is still ruling. Is everybody okay? Psalm 5. I believe that we need to know this. I believe that we need to, not only we're taking notes on this, but to be prepared so we can compare it. Why? Because, see, discernment is associated with receiving and imparting and eating truth so we can discern the things that are of not of truth. And let me tell you, the more that you... See, when you receive something, you use it, or else you're not receiving it. And when you receive something and you use it according to the will of God, you earn his trust. But when you say you receive it and don't use it, you lose his trust. Is everybody okay? Psalm 5, verse 4. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. Hello. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the what? The deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in a multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my what? So listen, people that reverence God worship him. Amen? But there are those who worship him but still practice lawlessness. So they think that their worship towards the Lord is going to erase their lawlessness. Believe me, I've seen people preaching on the streets that I know go home and use dope. They're trying to justify their wrongs by trying to do something good, but it gets them nowhere. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God, and let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out into the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. Hebrews chapter 1. Sin no more. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 8. Is everybody there? Praise God. But to the Son. Now, we are his sons and daughters. This is what he says to me and you. He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness, the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool? For they are not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who what? Will inherit what? Salvation. Amen. In Psalm 97. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday. Psalm 97. Whom shall you choose this day? Self or him? Self or himself? Psalm 97. Is everybody there? Let's go verse 1 and 2 first. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness, now look at it. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Does everybody see that? That's the foundation of his throne. So let me tell you, we want to be, when we go to his throne, we want to be in righteousness. Amen? Go to verse 10. It says this, would you read it with me? Verse 10. You who love the Lord, what? You who love the Lord, what? You who love the Lord, what? So if you're petty and evil, you don't hate evil. If you associate with evil, you don't hate evil. That means God looks at us and says, you don't love me, you love evil. Why? Because you don't hate evil. If you don't hate evil, then you don't, does everybody get it? Then you love me. But if you don't love me, yeah. So we've got to hate evil. We don't want to pet evil. We don't want to associate with evil. Our job is to expose evil. It says, he preserves the souls of his saints. Why? Because they what? Hate evil. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Why? Because they hate evil. Light is shown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Sin no more. What does the Bible say? The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil because we hate evil. In James 4, 1 through 7, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to share something with you that is vitally important, but I do want to go there instead. I think it's vitally important. James 4. I think we need to read this. Glory. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires? Those are feelings, wants for pleasure that war in your members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the... In other words, he holds back grace. He holds back his plan. But he gives grace to the humble. He releases his plan. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. Go to Hebrews 10, 26. Hebrews 10, 26. Remember, God has given us a free will, so we can choose to sin. I don't care if you've been delivered 16 times. Well, I just went through deliverance. So what? Your free will wasn't cast out. Although for some of us it would be great. Hallelujah. In verse 26, chapter 10. Would you read it with me? For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Does everybody see that? In other words, you are wide open for lunch. That means you have walked away from the covering of salvation. Amen. You mean if I willfully sin? Yes, it means you disobey, you rebel. You are walking away. God will not interfere. That's why he says willfully. You live in fornication. You can have all the reasons, justification, reasonings, everything. Sin is sin. Amen? If you willfully sin, there is no more covering. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of what? Judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment? How much worse punishment? Does everybody see that? Wow. Do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. That's pretty wild, isn't it? I don't know if you heard the testimony or not about this ISIS guy that I think Wade put it up. I guess he had gotten shot. He was dying. He was left for dead. They left him for dead. He was dead or he died. And so they went at the Christians found him and said, let's give him a burial. The dude came back to life. They helped him with his wounds and whatever, and he said that he was in hell. And over and over and over, he kept seeing the torment of the people he beheaded through their eyes over and over. See, in hell, people see the worst things that they've done over and over and over. And he said that he saw light. And he thought Allah sent him to hell for his bad behavior. And when he came to and everything, he came to the Lord. See, that's what happens when people go to the hell. They see the torment of the other, through the eyes of the other person over and over. That is their hell. Because hell is real. Hebrews 3. In verse 7, would you read it with me, please? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. So look, when you reject the voice of correction, of the counsel of the Spirit, your heart becomes hardened. But I love the Lord. I don't care. You can say all the words you want. Until you submit that heart, that shell, that scales on that heart, no matter what, your heart is hardened. And you'll have bitterness, and you'll look to accuse. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion in the day of trial and wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray. Where? In their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, departing from the living God means departing from his will. You can say, I love Jesus and do all of those things, but if you're not doing his will, you've departed from him. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if you do this. If you what? Hold. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. In other words, if you maintain and practice the things that you were taught, today, if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Amen. Jeremiah 7. Almost done, but I got to get this in. Jeremiah chapter 7. Because there's a lot of deception out there, let me tell you. It's incredible. There are fellowships of deception. Organizations of deception. Jeremiah chapter 7. Is everybody there? Praise God. In verse 5. Let's read it together, please. I will go to Jeremiah 7. Let's wait a minute. Okay, here we go. For if you what? Thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his... Executing judgment means this. It doesn't mean you take out a sword and cut somebody's head off. Hello? It doesn't mean you accuse them. You execute judgment. What is it? You depart from evil. You hate evil. You don't pet evil. You don't associate with evil. And you don't associate with those who practice evil. That's executing judgment. Does everybody get this? What are you judging? You are judging fruit. I don't judge anyone. I judge their fruit. Their fruit judges them. People, oh man, you're just judging me. No, I'm judging your fruit. You've been judged already, homie. Does everybody understand? Why? You'll know them by their fruit, won't you? Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 6. If you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot what? Profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come and stand in my congregation, in my fellowship, in my house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Let me tell you, I can't tell you how many times the Lord has spoken to me in this. That's why I don't care. You don't like what's spoken here? Go somewhere else. But I'm going to tell the truth. And I pray conviction and restoration be established. Why? Because the Lord, I'm not going to have a den of thieves and liars and cheats and fornicators and adulterers. You're in this place doing that, you get right or get out. Go ahead and serve the devil. I don't care. That's your problem, not mine. But when you're ready to get things right, then come and talk to me. But first show up in services with a repentant heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 7:23. Let's go to 23. And don't call me for counsel when you haven't gotten the first one. Let's go. Let's do it. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my what? Voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but follow the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Let me tell you, when somebody's going backward, that's what's happening. If you're not advancing, hello, since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt, the word Egypt means the world. Until this day, I've even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, you shall speak to all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord, their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off of their mouth. And has been cut off of their mouth. And I want to close at Psalm 15. You know, the Bible says that, again, man, I can't emphasize enough. Can we go one other place first? I'm going to go back to Matthew 7 for a second. Verse 13. Two quick verses. Matthew 7 and verse 13. Is everybody there? Let's speak this together. It says what? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go into and go, they go in by it. Why? Because they stopped sinning, but started again. Now look at, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Why? Because he says, sin no more. It's real simple. Sin no more. Turn away from it. Quit petting it. Hate it. Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sin no more. Praise God. Let's speak it together. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly. Hello. Does an upright person sin? No. Does he fornicate? Does he lie? Does he steal? Does he have idols? Oh. He who walks upright and works righteousness and speaks, hello, the truth in his heart. Listen, he doesn't just blab truth out of his mouth and do what. And practice lawlessness. Oh, Jesus loves me. Jesus does this. Jesus saves. Jesus this. Jesus that. And practice lawlessness. That's not truth out of the heart. Hello? But speaks the truth in his heart. In other words, he meditates. He sees. It's always there. See, there's so much knowledge, but not heart. Knowledge is not relationship. People exchange knowledge for relationship. Does everybody get it? And then they're not really walking, and the Lord's not before them. The only thing that's before them is knowledge. See, that's why the Bible says, seek the face of God. Why? Because we are looking for Jesus. When we're looking for Jesus, it said that there's pleasures at his right hand. That hand is what heals. When you look at, I busted up my leg. They told me it would be 4 months, 4 months before I could do anything with that leg. It happened on a Sunday, on a Tuesday night. We were praising and worshiping. The service, the praise and worship was coming to a close, and we were just ministering to the Lord. And I saw Jesus. And I heard, step. In other words, walk on the water. But he was on the boat, and I was in the water. And then I put my foot down and almost went through the ceiling. And then he reminded me of what Peter said. And I said, Lord, command me to walk. And he looked right at me and said, I command you to walk. And let me tell you, boom, I was healed and ran around the church. Does everybody understand that? See, he wants us to see him. He's not asking us to look at knowledge. He's asking us to look at him. That's what it says, seek my face. So when you get into his presence, you look to him. And when he touches you, you're healed. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 3, he who what? Does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised. In other words, look at, I ain't hanging with you, Holmes, because you're out there, outer darkness. You practice wickedness. But he honors those who what? Fear the Lord. Why? Because those who fear the Lord, they honor, respect the Lord. then they're walking upright. Because self is not leading. Amen? The Spirit's leading. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Those who are led by self are sons of the devil. It's real simple. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, you ain't changing. I ain't changing. I ain't changing. I'm going to change from glory to glory. But I'm going to keep the Lord before me. I'm going to keep the devil behind me. Even though sin is in front of me. See, there's sin in front of us. Amen? And the Lord is in front of us. But we have a free will. Hallelujah. Nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Verse 4. And whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. This is where Dad wants us to be. In a place that we are immovable. That we would rather die than live in sin. This is where we must exchange our life for his life. Our will for his will. Our thoughts for his thoughts. Our presence for his presence. There's an exchange prayer. Use that prayer, that penetrating prayer booklet. I'm telling you, it's changing lives. So is Eternal Library. Go there and learn. It's available for anyone. It's free. You know, when the Lord said, look at it, daily I've sent my prophets to speak to you. Well, daily and nightly and 24 hours a day, Eternal Library is open to speak to you. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed to know truth. And I pray today, Master, that you would correct us in your counsel of your Spirit today. That you would show us the reality that pleases you as you spoke of those things that you hate. And that we begin to agree with the things that you hate and agree in the things that please you. That we would come to the end of ourself so that you can express yourself. And we ask this today, Master, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.